Let me point something out to you first. If you will take your bulletin and if you'll open it up. And I had one with me and now I don't, so I'm just going to have to trust you here. If you'll open it up, there's something in there. It says the journey together, or a journey together, something along those lines. That's okay, Jackie. Thank you. Last week we challenged our students by handing them a pamphlet that had what you see there, except it has everything and all the scriptures. To read through the Bible in a year as the student ministry. And we had printed about 60 or so of those things, and about 4 of them were left. So I'm really excited that they grabbed hold of that and decided to do that and everything. But with that said, we decided, I took it to the pastors and said, hey, what if we challenge the church as a challenge from the student ministry that we all do it together? So that's what you have there. You will start seeing as of this week, every day, if you follow me on Twitter or you're a friend with me on Facebook, you'll start seeing it at some point in the afternoon there as far as scripture, the scriptures you're supposed to be reading for that day. You'll be getting that update every day. You'll get it in the bulletin every so often and every week, and it'll also be on the website and stuff. So you'll be able to do that. So this will just be something that can kind of be a unifier for all of us as the church body to go through together and take a look at. So I want to encourage you to do that. So you can set that aside now. First service, I want to tell you basically the same thing that I said to them, which was last week, as I kind of left out of here after second service, was kind of like a wow kind of thing for me. It was very emotional. If you were in here first or second service last week, then you're aware of that and everything. But I would like to share with you for just a moment as to the why for me. So if you remember, at the end of the service, I challenged you guys and said that I had challenged the students. There's a lot of challenging going on right now. I challenged our students to, at the beginning of the holidays, to get alone, to take that time to really just, you know, sit down and ask the Father what was something that he wanted to share with them that he had never shared with them before. I challenged you with the same thing. One of the things I also said to them, and I said to you last week, is I will never challenge them, or anyone else for that matter, to do something that either I haven't done myself or I'm not in the process of doing. I just don't feel like it's right. I think it's kind of lame, actually. With that, I've already done that myself. And in doing that myself, can I have some of that? When I was Anyhow, when I did that a few months ago, back in August, in 2009, I went up to North Georgia and went camping. When I went up there, there was various and sundry things that happened that I won't necessarily bore you with, like the rip that was in my tent that I was unaware of, which was nice for the breeze, the little bit of breeze that there was because of the heat, but was bad. Because of the mosquitoes that were present at that time. So there were just a multitude of things that took place over that weekend that I could bore you with, but I won't. However, one of the things that did happen, and my purpose for going, was to simply to sit down and say, okay, God, what is it that you want to show me? What is it that you want to share with me, talk to me about, and so forth? With that, when I did that, unfortunately, there was one thing that began to just be a resounding gong in my brain and just continued just to go and to go and to go and to go. I look back now and I'm embarrassed to say that it was something that did not connect with my heart. It did not connect with the scripture at the time that I was reading and everything. But to the point that I got completely caught up in it, that it became a complete distraction for me, and I think what God was doing. So, you're going, okay, why are you telling us all this? the still small voice of that weekend was, you have not yet begun to understand the capacity at which you can love. Now, if we look at the Scripture, what does the Scripture tell us? The Scripture tells us that it's the still small voice. It's not the loud, you know, rushing water, wind, you know, all those things. That's not what it is. So with that said, I was so distracted, unfortunately, by the big noise that I missed the little noise. Now, you're still going, probably, okay, why are you sharing this with us this morning? Part of the reason, outside of just the scope of what we talked about last week and the enormousness of what we talked about last week, I heard again for the second time and then the third time in this service, and it connected with my heart very, very deeply. Again, Terry, you have yet to understand the capacity at which you can love. So to hear that and to be able to really understand and know and to experience what God was doing in me last week, you got to see the outward effect of that, I guess. This is not an apology by any stretch of the means, but that is what led me to today, in that I felt that there was more. I felt that there was more to the end of the service. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about. So if you can kind of step back with me to the end of our service last week, where I stood right there and I said to you, and this will all come clear in a moment, when I said to you, there's something in the moving. So we're going to back up a little bit, and we're going to start from that point this morning. So I also have to tell you, as kind of a funny thing, this morning, when I got to my first scripture that I was going to read this morning, I was over here somewhere, and I said, okay, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. And when I looked down, I knew immediately when I turned to that there was something wrong, because there was no red marks, there was no highlighting, no scribbling in the margins or anything, and I knew that I was in the wrong place. I didn't think to look up at where I was. I was in the right chapter, and I was near the right verses, but I didn't think to look up to where it said Ecclesiastes instead of Ephesians. So for a brief moment, I just looked at everybody and went, I'm in the wrong place. I've since corrected that this morning. So while I'm talking to you and giving you a first couple of questions here, if you would do me the favor of turning to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, that is in the New Testament, not the Old Testament, where I was earlier, verses 8 through 10. As you're turning there, here's the questions that I want to recap with you, or I want to ask you this morning, and that's this. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are you doing? Now, understand, just like I said last week, when we're pointing our finger at somebody, the old saying is, well, you got three coming back at you. So again, this applies to me just as much as it does to you guys in here this morning. So what are we doing, or what are you doing? The bigger question that I think that we can ask is, what are we not doing? What are we not doing? Where are we uncomfortable? Where are we distracted or dissatisfied in our own walk with the Lord? And why is it that we're in that place? Well, here's what I want to tell you this morning. The reason for that, the reason that we're dissatisfied, the reason that we're uncomfortable, the reason that you can tag on any of those words, the unwords, if you will, okay, is because we now know the truth. We now know the truth. The scales, in a sense, okay, have been taken from our eyes. Our heart has been tenderized. The Holy Spirit of God Himself has been placed inside of us. His Spirit has taken us over, and we no longer are in the dark. So let's read Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. It says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, you're going, okay, I'm still not connecting. Well, let me help you with that. Here is why. Now, the students, the ones that were at Linked last week, are going to go, okay, this vaguely sounds familiar. Well, it should. And here's why. Because I said the same thing to them last week. Just like I told you, there was this continuation in my heart. There was this continuation of what God was speaking to me and still even this week has continued to do in me this week. And here's why. Why am I dissatisfied? Why are there certain things that I'm uncomfortable with? Why, you know, and here's what it is. Because God is progressively doing something inside of me. God is continuing to point things out in who I am. And when I'm unwilling to move, when I'm unwilling to accept what it is that He's doing within me, when I'm unwilling to look at what those things are that are happening in my life and what He is pointing out, the convictions of the Holy Spirit that are taking place into my heart and into my life, I become miserable. Now, here's what I told the students last week. You know, we hear from people in the world all the time, man, I'm okay. But yet, they're not okay. They're continually seeking after the newest thing. They're continually seeking after money. They're continually seeking to have what everybody else has. They're continually seeking for significance. They're continuing to ask the questions of why and what and who and where and all these things that are taking place. So this act, in a sense, comes over them in this act of, yes, I'm okay, and I've got everything I need, and there's not a problem. But here's the flip side of that for us. The flip side of that for us is you know what? We know the truth. And because we know the truth, and God has called us to move, God has called us to act, then what happens is in the midst of that, when we don't act, when we're unwilling to move, then we become dissatisfied. We become uneasy because the conviction of the Holy Spirit that is deep inside of us, that is churning something inside of us. Because now that thing, that transformation that took place in our heart and in our life, when we accepted Jesus into our life and we said, I realize and I recognize that I am a sinner. I realize and I recognize that there's a desperation inside of me for an answer, for a hope and for a future. If you remember Jeremiah 29:11 that we talked about last week. There's a desperation inside of me for significance. So when all of a sudden we've accepted that truth and that truth has been placed inside of us, when we go against that truth or when we go against what it is that God is trying to change in us or can transform in us, when we go against those things, there is dissatisfaction. And because there's that dissatisfaction, we then start to question God. We then begin to start to question, is there anything really to this? And what we have to do is step back and we have to start saying, okay, let's look into what brought me to this point. We have to go back to our salvation experience and say, okay, I remember what God did to me. And when we do that, all of a sudden that transformation then becomes new again and it becomes fresh again. And we dig into the scripture. When we dig into the scripture and we start looking and we start realizing, okay, this is what He's talking about. He's confirming His love for me. He's confirming in me what it is that He wants me to understand. When we spend time in prayer with Him, we get strengthened and we gain more of an understanding and more of a knowledge of what He is doing in us. And when we do that, all of a sudden, nothing else matters. Our satisfaction becomes something that is within the Lord. Our satisfaction becomes something that is not worldly anymore. those things that seem so important, the gadgets and gizmos and the houses and the cars and the money and the whatever, the trips, whatever it is. All of a sudden, it's like these things, there's no satisfaction in those things. Because the satisfaction comes from just being satisfied with where God has placed us and what He's called us to do. And we will be ruined. We will be ruined because we know the truth if we don't allow the convictions of the Holy Spirit to continue to work in us. I read this morning because after I read what I wrote, I went, man, I said it good there. So I'm going to read it to you again. So what does this mean for us? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Said simply, here it is. Now that we know the truth, now that the light is in us, means we will never be satisfied to live outside the convictions of the Holy Spirit. We will never be satisfied to live outside the convictions of the Holy Spirit of God that has been placed inside of us. Never. So what I told the students, in a sense, we're going to be more miserable than they are. I told them, you're going to be more miserable than your friends if you start trying to fit in with what's happening and fit in with what's happening as far as the worldly stuff goes. I can't tell you how many times over the past couple of weeks I've just gone, God, what have you done to me? Because when things go wrong, now it's like this deep conviction of, gosh, man, you just screwed up. And there's this urgency to want to fix it. God, what do I have to do? So we must take hold of who we are. So if you go to, if you want to turn there, I think they're putting it up on the screen now. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven, God Almighty, the maker and the creator of everything, the one who put the stars into place. We have the answer to significance. We have the answer. We have the answer to significance in this life that will carry us through to eternity. We hold within us the very light of God Himself. His light has been placed in us. We have been told that we're to share it. We've been told that we are to be a beacon. We are to be a city that is on a hill. We are to be the lamp that is shining, the hope and freedom of God to a world that is full of darkness and hopelessness and insignificance. I mentioned to you a story in the email. And I mentioned to you that some of you may have heard this story before, and it's really okay. It's an urban legend. I've dug and dug and dug, and I really can't find anywhere in the world of the internet that says that it's actually for real. So I want to read this story to you this morning. In the darkest part of the night, a ship's captain cautiously piloted his warship through the fog-shrouded waters. With straining eyes, he scanned the hazy darkness, searching for dangers that could be lurking just out of sight. Then his worst fears were realized when he saw a bright light that was straight ahead of him. It appeared to be a vessel on a collision course with his ship. To avert disaster, he quickly radioed the oncoming vessel. "This is Captain Jeremiah Smith." His voice crackled over the radio. "Please alter your course 10 degrees south. Over." To the captain's amazement, the foggy image didn't move. Instead, he heard back on the radio, "Captain Smith, this is Thomas Johnson. Please alter your course 10 degrees north. Over." Appalled at the audacity of the message, the captain shouted back over the radio again, "Mr. Johnson, this is Captain Smith, and I order you to immediately alter your course 10 degrees south. Over." A second time, the oncoming light didn't budge. "With all due respect, Captain Smith," came Johnson's voice again, "please alter your course immediately, 10 degrees to the north. Over." Angered and frustrated that this sailor would endanger the lives of his men and crew, the captain growled back over the radio, "Mr. Johnson, for the last time, I command you on the authority of the United States government to alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a battleship." Then, Thomas Johnson's final transmission, spoken with conviction and desperation, was chilling. "Captain Smith, sir, once again, with all due respect, please alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I'm a lighthouse." We are the keepers of the light. We are the keepers of the light of God. We are the keepers of significance here on this earth. God has placed His Holy Spirit in us that has given us significance, that has given us purpose and reason and understanding. It has given us the ability to find comfort and hope and security in Him. And we are told to keep that light within us and to let it be a light to a lost and dying world. Sing this with me. You ready? "For this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." We are the keepers of the light. We have been commissioned. We have been commissioned. You don't have to turn there with me. They're going to put it up on the screen. Our commission comes from Matthew 28 and verse 19. Because here's what it says. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the ends of the age." What do we have to fear? "But I'm too busy. But I'm this. I can't alter this. I can't alter that. I've told you before when I cluttered the stage with all the things from my garage." Find something that you do that connects with someone else and let that become your ministry. Find something that you can do that will allow you the opportunity to minister to someone else. I'm not asking you to add anything additional to your life. I'm simply asking you to obey the commission and the command that has been given you as a person who has accepted Jesus into your life. So, the message this morning is very, very simple. to the point that I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm done. But guess what? I'm not going to let you move outside the doors yet. We're going to move, but we're not going to move outside the doors. And here's what I mean by that. A few moments ago, Marshall asked you to pick up one of these cards. And I need everybody to grab one. Because here's what we're going to do. Normally, when we read Acts 1:8, and this is what it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." Well, normally, when we read that verse and we talk about that verse, here's what happens. When we read that, we say, okay, well, you know, Jerusalem, all right, sure, that's, you know, that's Ackworth. Let's see, Judea, well, you know, Judea, that's, you know, that's Atlanta, Cobb County, Cherokee County. You know, and then we say Samaria, oh, well, that's Georgia. You know, and then we go, well, the ends of the earth, well, okay, we can figure that one out on our own. Well, I'm going to change it up a little bit today. I'm going to make it personal. If you flip that card over, it reads, "My Acts 1:8. You're going, okay, well, that's great. I see where you're going. No, you don't. The first one, Jerusalem, we're going to change it up a little bit. And we're going to say this morning. Jerusalem is your heart. Jerusalem is your heart. It's your struggles. It's what the Father is doing and working in you. Judea is your family, your close friends. How can you reconcile? How can you forgive? Or how can you be more understanding to a family member or to a very, very close friend? The third, Samaria, is your work. It's your church or your everyday activities, the extracurricular activities that your kids are involved in. Students, for you, it's those things that you are involved in. Your boss, your coworker, your ministry, service, whatever that is. Knowing the name, and I've said this before, of the person of your favorite restaurant that you go to, or knowing the name of the person that makes your coffee at Dunkin' Donuts or at Starbucks or wherever. Last is the uttermost. That's your neighborhood or your community that you live in. How can you pray? How can I volunteer in my community? How can I do something in my neighborhood to reach out to my neighbors, really, truly reach out to them? And what can I do to make a difference? Now, I want to step back up before I go any further to the first one, Jerusalem. And I want to say this. If you're a believer this morning and you're sitting out there and God is working and moving in your heart, then you understand where I'm going for you. But if you're sitting out there this morning and you're going, hey, man, okay, this is all great and everything. Something's happening in me this morning. And you've never accepted Jesus into your life. This is your opportunity to come down here and to let one of the pastors or one of the deacons that will come down spend some time with you to share with you what it means to have that relationship. And let me just tell you something. If you're sitting out there this morning and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, let me let you know that you are here for a purpose this morning. You woke up this morning. You got up this morning and came to this place because God desired for you to be here. Something inside of you, something deep in you, caused you to be willing to get up this morning to come to this place. So in just a moment, I want you to be willing to get up, to take the first step, and to say, okay, God, I'm willing to at least listen as to what it means to have this relationship with you. Now, let me just tell you this morning, we're going to move. We're going to move. We're not going to sit in the pew. I don't care if you're in the balcony. I don't care if you're in the back row. We're going to move this morning. And here's why. There's such a deep conviction in me about this. If you look to the Scripture, the Scripture is clear that Jesus did one of two things. He asked people, what is it that you want? What is it that you want? And when he asked them, what it is that you want, you know what was interesting in that? Is that the people then told them that there was an action that followed. Go and do this. Get up and do this. It was never, well, yeah, just hang out right here. Everything will be fine. When he healed the paralytic, he told him, take up your mat and walk. He told many of them, go wash yourselves. When he spit on the ground and he put the mud on the eyes, he said, go wash yourself. There was always something that followed, an action that followed. Go, get up. And you know what I believe? I believe the purpose and the reason behind that was, is because Jesus was really wanting to find out, are they really serious? Are they really serious? And you're going, well, Terry, that's unfair. That kind of forces me to get up. Because, you know, if I just sit here, then people are going to be looking around. Well, you know what? Maybe that's one of the things they need to pray about when they come down here, is being judgmental. But I will tell you, do you want to be changed? Do you want there to be a difference in your life? Do you want there to be something different? Because if you do, you got to move. You got to take the first step. So, we're going to start, and we're going to take them one by one. So the first one is this. I'm going to be down here for the first one. The first one is this. Believer, if you're out here this morning and you would say, my Jerusalem, my heart, my struggles, God, what is it that you want to do in me? God, what is it that you're working in me? God, what is it that you want to change in me? I'm going to take the first step. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to take up my mat and walk. I'm going to believe that if I simply could just reach out and touch the hem of your garment, that I would be healed. There's part A and B to number one. To the person out there that would say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I've never asked him into my life. Then this first part is for you. I'll be down here to talk to you for a minute, to pray with you, to answer your questions. There'll be other pastors here. My wife is here. There's a lady that would like to come. I can let you talk to her. There'll be some other men that will be here that will be just elated to talk to you about a relationship with Jesus. But you have got to take the first step. So let's stand this morning and let's move. Let the